By tomorrow, Chicagoans are going to look very tan, but actually it's not suntan, it's just rust.
Tan. I was having a fantasy that I was going to get a call from our neighbor who's going to say, come on over, the pool is open.
That's some fantasy.
Yep.
Well, they won't have to fill the pool up this spring. The melted snow and the rain is just going to fill it all up.
Yeah, but it's not pool weather yet.
Well, St. Louis, 61, and it's getting warmer as the day goes on, and then tonight it'll be balmy and then windy, and then another cold wave is going to come in. So a little bit of everything for you.
I am just worried that here we are at WGN in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and our basement is home alone.
Yeah, I know.
Is the sump pump working? Did you check it before leaving the house?
I checked it yesterday. Yeah, a lot of people are worried about that. We'll keep you updated on the weather conditions as far as the rain, who's going to get the most of it, when the heaviest is going to come through, when it's going to go, and all of that. I have a new pre-show ritual. I steal a little, one of those mini candy bars off of Carol's desk across from Jimmy DeCastro's office. And today I had a little mini Milky Way. And it gives me a little burst of energy to get me through the strenuous three-hour day here.
Why do you do that? Why do you eat a Milky Way before going on the air?
You know, Letterman used to have, I don't know if he still does this, but for years, Letterman, right before the taping, would have pineapple and chocolate. He'd have a few pieces of chocolate and some pineapple as
an
energy boost.
That would be a little healthier.
Of course, then he had heart bypass surgery. So,
what about some fresh squeezed juice from our juicer?
Takes too long, though. I don't have time for that.
Well, tell me, and I'll get up earlier, and I'll do it for you.
Really?
If you would have it.
Yeah, sure. Just leave it for me, and I'll drink it. I like...
That gives you a burst of energy.
I used to go on my dinner break when I was working down the street at Fox. There's a little place on Lake Street. It's like a sandwich place, and I think they have like a lot of Middle Eastern hummus-type foods, but they do fresh-squeezed juice, and they have a juicer, and I'd go there for some mix of various vegetables and fruits, and it's a great pick-me-up. It's better than going to a coffee place. It's healthier.
Well, can we get some of that now here? Where is it? It's only a couple
of
blocks away,
right? It's on Michigan and Lake. Yeah,
it's Michigan and Lake?
Well, it's down. It's actually a little bit west of Michigan Avenue on Lake Street.
Is there anyone who is in the building who wants to take a walk since we're busy?
Oh, you want a fresh juice now?
Yes, I would love that. And by the way, the juices at that place that we went to dinner at the other day, Beatrix,
mm-hmm.
Those juices are unbelievable.
Yeah, that's here on North Clark Street. They do a blueberry. I've never had a fresh blueberry juice, and they mix it with something else.
With
what is it?
A little bit of white grape juice, and
yeah.
then
fantastic.
A hint of basil. But I was going to have a glass of wine with dinner, and I had two blueberry juices instead.
Well, yeah, and you stopped yourself from adding some alcohol to it because the waiter said, would you like me to put in, what are you asking?
Like gin or vodka or whatever.
Whiskey
and I said,
or something.
Yeah, whiskey, right. Yeah. I said, no, I'll
no,
just
first
have
you
it plain.
Said you were going to say
I was
yes.
I was going to, and then I thought, wait a minute, I just, it's so good.
Yeah, I waved you off of that.
Yeah. So it was better than having a glass of wine. It really was. I want to recreate that at home. I wonder how many blueberries had to die to make that tall glass of what seemed to be mostly just blueberries.
That's a good place, Beatrix on North Clark Street downtown here. Are you in the mood for Mexican food? Because we've got some great suggestions for restaurants that have cheap eats and excellent tacos and more. The Tribune's Cheap Eater, that's the name of the column, the Cheap Eater. Kevin Pang will be here today to talk about that at 1:35.
I think that's the perfect food, a taco. Can you tell
can
I'm
be.
Hungry?
Yeah, hungry and thirsty. And let's see, what else do we have? Oh, on our Facebook page, let's talk about this. It's Throwback Thursday, and it's Friday Eve here. But for the picture, for the photo, I think it's 1976, somewhere around there. Harry Carey came to play rock and roll disc jockey on the show I was doing at the time at the Big 89. And
you mean he was playing his music?
No, he came and he like gave away Rolling Stones tickets, and he took over the show for a while. And then as part of our little stunt, I went over with him to do a little bit of the Sox game with him on Channel 44. At that time, Harry was doing Sox games on TV, and I think it was 44. So there's a picture of us in the booth, and Harry, you know, looks like Harry. And I have, again, one of my bad haircuts and a bad shirt. It's some sort of cowboy shirt I was wearing, which I think I just threw out a few years ago.
By the way, a couple of things on that. First of all, it's so funny because so many people are making comments about your shirt. But I have seen so many pictures of you from that era when you're wearing that shirt that I have to believe that you really liked it and you thought it looked good.
Well, of course, because I thought, hey, I'm going to be on TV with Harry Carey. I better wear my best stuff.
Right, but there are so many. There are a lot of publicity pictures of you or pictures of you with different people, and you're wearing that shirt. Were you in a cow? Did you wear boots too?
It must have been my. What was that? The rodeo bar phase. What was that? The John Travolta. Yeah, urban cowboy. Right. That must have been the phase. Anyway, look at it for yourself. Make fun of me. Facebook.com/Serrata Murciano to see that.
I still would rather have been wearing what you are wearing in this picture than the giant shoulder pads that anchor women. War, mm-hmm. And that's what
back in the day.
Those are worse than that cowboy shirt.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. We are going to check in with the Tribs Olympic reporter in Sochi, Stacy St. Clair, at around 2:15 today, and get a live update for what's going on. Meantime, listen to this. Talking about shirts. Is this shirt I'm wearing supposed to be worn out, do you think? Aren't you supposed to wear a shirt like this out and then you wear like a white t-shirt underneath?
I don't know. You have to stand up and I have to see how long the shirt is.
I've got it tucked in.
No, you look good like this.
What do you think? Do you need a t-shirt underneath this?
Should
I wear my old Western cowboy shirt if I can find it?
You look really good today, Bob.
Well,
I think I'm going to have to take
you.
A picture and post it so people can see how you dress today.
Well,
very, very nice.
Yeah, because this is a shirt you bought me, and these are pants you bought
the
me.
The kids and I.
And
the kids and I went
shopping.
So
this is entirely your creation, Dr. Frankenstein.
The kids, because you know how they feel about how you dress.
Well, and hey, if you want to know what to do in terms of fashion, music, you check in with the young kids.
13-year-old is very good at that.
And so are the other kids.
And the 21 and the 24, yeah. Now, the 21, not so much.
Well, that's because he's a hipster.
Yeah, and he likes to go shopping at the Salvation Army.
Well, it's a look.
Yeah,
bad
look.
I'm not ready for that look yet. I don't think it's a bad look.
It's a bad look.
He looks like a musician, an eccentric musician.
Yeah, well, it's a bad look.
We were talking about Harry Carey, and it was it February 18th? It was just a couple of days ago was the anniversary of his passing, wasn't it?
Yes.
Is that right? Was it the 18th?
Yeah. Wasn't it on Valentine's
That's
Day
when,
that he collapsed?
Yes, uh-huh.
So
just
sad.
Looking
I remember the day.
Looking at that picture, it just reminds me of a lot of adventures I had with Harry over the years. He showed me the day that he came over to do the rock and roll radio show, and then we went that night to Sox Park. We drove together, and he showed me the back route to get from Mishkinawacker to then Comiskey Park. And he knew all the streets he's navigating, you know. No, go down Canal here. Take Canal over here. I still remember that. Yeah. So he was fun. And what people didn't know about him or many people didn't know about him, was how studious he was, really. He would really do his homework, and he was very, very diligent about preparing. And not just on Rush Street.
Not just on Rush Street? You mean he prepared at the bar? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, look at this. Who left this in the studio?
I don't know, but there was another one, SI, Sports Illustrated.
50th anniversary 2014 swimsuit issue. You know what the best, I haven't had a chance to go through this closely, but just from gazing at a few things in here, the sexiest part of this is right in the beginning, they have the former Sports Illustrated models like Tyra Banks and Christie Brinkley.
Who, by the way, is 60 years old and looks like she's 35. And it is unbelievable. And it's not a retouched. I mean, I'm sure that picture is touched up, but.
But still.
But I saw her being interviewed recently. And they, you know, you can't do that to the video on Access Hollywood. And she looks exactly like that. It's just amazing how good she looks. She really looks like she's 35 years old.
Well, look, Carol Ault. I think I like the older women. I think this is the best part of the magazine. Well, Vendela. Remember Vendela?
How old are the older women?
Well, Vendela was in the magazine in 93, so, and she must have been in her 20s back then. Remember, we had her on
the
morning show on Fox a few times.
She's 30.
Well, no, not now she's not. She's 93 she was in the Sports Illustrated.
Oh,
so she was probably in her 20s then.
Oh, so she's in her 40s then, probably.
She's one of the younger ones here. I like the. I remember Vendela. We kidded around with her a lot.
This is radio, and
people
can't see what you're looking at.
I forgot.
So can you stop looking at Sports Illustrated?
Okay. Well, I'm just pointing out that the former models, the older women, are, to me, the most attractive in here.
Oh, okay.
Kathy Ireland.
Great.
Yeah. And who? Oh, Cheryl Teagues. Remember, she was just here a few weeks ago. And she's in here, too.
Have fun, Bob. Hey, I'll come back in a while.
Nice.
You can't leave anything in the studio and not expect Bob to
examine it
closely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. What do you want to talk about? How about a bit of business news?
All right.
And this, in the headline of this, the category is... things you should have done, but you didn't.
Things that you should have done, but you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What should you have done?
You should have bought one share of Coca-Cola stock in 1919. One share of Coca-Cola stock in 1919. I'm not sure how much it cost in 1919. Not very much. But you know how much? Is this possible? A single share of Coca-Cola bought in 1919, now is worth more than $10 million.
Wow. Well,
that's crazy.
If you did, if you were just born in 1919, you would be about 95 years old. So if you were old enough to think about buying a share of Coca-Cola in 1919, add like another 20 years to it. So, yeah, you'd really be enjoying that $10 million right now.
You have other things that you'd be worried about. more disturbed about and frustrated about than that. Don't know if you can see any of Chicago's fine buildings through the rain and fog right now, but we're going to talk about them with Dennis Rodkin, now with Crane Chicago Business. Welcome, Dennis.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Marianne.
Good to have you aboard.
Congratulations. Thanks. On your new job.
Thank you. My first story is out today.
How many jobs do you have now?
How many...
Well, one's good.
One's good.
Coming in and talking to you guys and working for Cranes.
Yeah, and I saw you on WGN TV a couple of days ago.
Right. Yeah. I called that
You're
the
everywhere.
Lightning round. Well, I try to be. I called that the lightning round because they give me questions and each one has to be answered in like 45 seconds. So I sort of felt like it was.
Yeah, because it's TV.
Lightning round quiz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do the answers have to match the questions?
I don't know if mine did.
The spire has been in the news lately, the great hole in the ground in Streeterville. Is it ever going to be built, is the question. What's new on this?
You know, the problem is what's new on this is so complicated. It's really essentially what's going on. Mary Ellen Podmalek at the Tribune and a bunch of my new colleagues at Cranes have been tracking this. And it's who's going to buy whose debt is really what it comes down to.
That's no fun.
No, I don't think so. You know, if people are driving down Lakeshore Drive looking, because you know you can see that hole, if they're thinking, oh boy, the spire is just about to come out of the ground, maybe don't think that for a while, because it's still a question. The original developer who failed to get it built several years ago is now has an investor, or I guess claimed to have an investor from the North Shore, an investment company or an investment by a company on the North Shore, but related a developer in the city, which had already owned part of the developer's debt, has claimed that, the word sham has been used. So it's really it's all backstage. It's all insider baseball now. Who's going to buy whose debt? How are we? And once that gets resolved, then there's the question of how do we finance building the building,
which is supposed to be what 2,000 feet?
Yeah, tallest building in North America.
Is it up for debate at all, the design of it? I mean, depending on who assumes that debt.
They have not said that there are any changes, but they also haven't said that there aren't. You know, I mean, I think right now everybody, they're involved in all this skullduggery backstage trying to get the financing straightened out. So I don't think anybody wants to damage the profile of the project, the sort of visible profile of the project. But you would imagine several years have gone by. Our landscape has changed. You would think that there, you know, changes might possibly be on the table.
And also things get updated. I mean, new technology affects the construction of buildings, doesn't it?
It does. That one, I mean, that's Santiago Calatrava, who was right out there on the edge. And the design, I mean, I don't think the engineering of that design could change very much because the design, in that case, because of that twist, the design is the engineering for that building. So I don't know that you would change one without changing the other. And again, I'm not saying that they are changing it. I just think that, you know, we're several years hence. Who knows what changes?
And we're talking about more than 1,000 condo units in that building, right?
With more than a dozen priced at over $10 million.
More than a dozen of them priced at over $10 million? Where did
that was how they were talking then.
And at what price point does it start?
I think they started at over $1 million. I don't think there wasn't, you know, like a studio condo for $250,000 or anything right. like that. They started pretty high. That's my recollection, but I haven't checked that recently, Marianne.
You wrote about a $2 million condo up in Lakeview. What's the story on this place?
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting that we would connect these two. This is a building. It's 2520 Lakeview. It's where Columbus Hospital was. Anybody who's been in or around the park, Lincoln Park, knows exactly what it is because it's this huge mansard-roofed tower that is bigger than anything else in Lincoln Park. And it also, speaking of a number of condos priced at over $10 million, they have sold more than 40 condos at $2 million or more, and they have another 20 still to sell. They're selling them quite well. I mean, again, so several dozen, over 40, sold for over $2 million. There's not another building in Chicago that has done that, though the Spire, you would imagine, would be the next comer.
It seems like that whole area is so congested already. I mean, you can't find a parking space. It's really hard to get through that whole area unless you're on foot.
What a perfect place to live, though.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
Looking down on the the lagoon, and you can walk all around. You know, you've got dining and everything all nearby.
Yeah, Diversity Harbor there.
Yeah, and you can find parking if you live in that building, Marianne, because you've got,
because
you know,
then you've
a
got
nice big.
The-
yeah, and they're selling single-family home lots as well. I don't know if you know the footprint of that building, but it was Columbus Hospital. There's the shrine to Mother Cabrini down at the base of the new building because she died in that hospital, and so the church... The hospital chapel still stands, and one of her bones, I think it's her leg bone, is there under the altar. So what's kind of interesting is you've got this enormous building with these super high-end condos, and a nun who spent her life catering to the poor is enshrined in the base of the building.
And that's going to be part of the new lobby area there?
No, they're actually
what
separate.
Are they doing with
they
it?
Have a separate entrance. There's an easement that you go through a piece of the building that is a dedicated entrance into that church. So you don't residents are not going to be at the shrine or not going to be bumping into visitors at the shrine
while they're waiting for an elevator.
Yeah, but it's just this weird irony that, you know, like this pile of 2 million, some of them have been sold for over $7 million. At the base of the building is this shrine to this woman who catered to the poor.
you see all these unbelievable buildings in this area where we are, and Lakeshore Drive, and then there's that other whole neighborhood in Lincoln Park that is so appealing as well. What makes people choose one or the other if they have that kind of money to spend $2 million on a condo?
Well, you know, a lot of what happens for a building like that is it's the newest, it's the hottest, it's the most fabulous we've put up yet, that sort of thing. So I can't say this with certainty. I don't know the particular buyer's choices, but I've been living in the Gold Coast, and I'm going to step up, and that building has a higher level of service, brand new finishes, big balconies, so I make that move. But then the other thing, you know, I mean, where are your kids in the Latin school, or are they in the lab school? You know, it's easier to get them to the lab school from the Gold Coast than it is to get them from Lincoln Park, that sort of thing.
On ChicagoRealEstateDaily.com from Cranes, you write today about the residential market around here, the entire market staying warm despite the Arctic weather. This is good news.
Yeah, well, I think it is. We're going to have to wait a little while to see just how good the news is, because the news I'm reporting there is what sold in January, and I can talk about that in a second, but what we don't yet know is what deals were made in January that will close in, say, February, March, even into April. So when we see those, we may find that the number of sales was down. But one of the really interesting numbers is that of homes that were listed, that were put on the market in January, more than 35% sold in January. And if you compare that to the January prior, it was only about 29%. So there was a big increase in the number of homes that came onto and off the market in the course of January. And real estate agents were telling me that there were a lot of buyers who really wanted to get out and look. One said, you know, people wanted to get out in advance of all the buyers who will show up after the thaw. So they were out during snowstorms, driving around looking at houses. But there are indications that when we see what actually sold, the deals that were made in January, when those sales close, we may find that it's down.
And at what point is it that people who are thinking about putting their house on the market, when is the good time? Because now we're starting to get into spring. This is when people start feeling itchy about looking for a new place. So when?
Well, ordinarily, a couple of weeks ago would have been a good time, right? But your house had mountains of snow piled all around it and icicles hanging off the top. As soon as you can, really, would be the time to get on, because inventory is short. Buyers are out there. There is a demand for houses right now. We don't know exactly how this year is going to shape up, but as soon as your house doesn't look horrible, or I should say as soon as your yard doesn't look horrible, I would start to get it on. You need to do a couple of things. You need to look at, you know, were your gutters damaged by all those icicles that hung for so long? Do you suddenly have roof damage you didn't know about? And did you, one of the things I wonder about is if you live in a place where a plow does your sidewalks much more than your driveway, but your sidewalks, did they dig up big divots of your lawn? Because you need to, you know, curb appeal is so important.
Right.
And if the front of the house isn't looking great because of this past winter, fix that as soon as you can. Short answer to your question, Marianne, get it on soon, because that season is going to happen really quickly because of all the delays from the cold weather.
And there's there's not that much inventory, you're saying, but there are more people who are looking.
There seem to be, yeah, buyers seem to be out
in
there.
In the suburbs and in the city?
And in the city. And what people are saying is that there may be, again, we don't really know what happened in January because we don't yet know what actually sold. We only know what closed, and those were deals from prior, from December, November. But what appears to be likely is that a lot of the activity that would have happened in January and February will be smushed into March and April, when the March and April activity will also be happening. So they may be somewhat frenzied months, no guarantee, but it might be that a lot of those people who said either I didn't want to put my house on the market because it was covered in ice, or I didn't want to look at houses because I didn't want to put on my coat and boots and everything else, that all of that will start happening as soon as we look good again, and that's not today.
No, it isn't. Okay. Cranes Chicago Business, Dennis Rodkin, good to talk to you. We'll check in with you next time. Just looking at a piece that Dennis Rodkin wrote, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but this is pretty interesting. You know how occasionally there is a bidding war on a piece of real estate, on a home or a condo? They did a survey. Redfin studied thousands of 2013 Chicago home sales that its agents were involved in, and they wanted to figure out what wins a bidding war. And in Chicago, it's a little surprising because nationally, all cash offers are the most common way to win a bidding war, but not in Chicago.
What does it take? A hot dog?
The strategy that won most often was waiving the inspection contingency. Isn't that interesting? Redfin says 60%.
That's taking a real chance.
60% of the successful winners in those transactions did that. 45% wrote a personalized cover letter, and 37% offered cash. Waiving the inspection contingency. Yeah,
I mean,
I can see where that would be very
real,
appealing.
Yeah, but you're taking a real chance because something could be really wrong. But I guess one way around it is that maybe you could still get it inspected, but just not act on anything that comes back.
Well, anyone buying any property in the Chicago area will probably just assume there is some sort of water damage or something leaking. So I don't know if anybody would be willing to waive the inspection contingency. You know what I mean?
Well, but you're saying that in Chicago that is number one.
It has been. I wonder if that's going to change now. All the, I mean, 20-pound icicles hanging from gutters. There's going to be a lot of messed up houses.
By the way, last night it sounded like thunder at home in the middle of the night. And then I realized that it was just giant pieces of ice rolling down the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of days ago it really was thunder.
And then I saw them. Did you see the remnants of that this morning?
No,
looked
I
like
didn't.
Like a glacier.
Yeah, I know. That's going on everywhere. It's going on everywhere. Let's see.
I hope our basement is going to be okay.
Well, we're going to keep a close eye on the weather and this rain and what's happening with it and who's going to get the most of it and when it's going to move out of the area. So stand by for that. And then are we going to talk about this in the Love Lab? Signs your man is commitment phobic.
But if he's your man, he's already committed.
Well, he could be committed to
other things
or not to marriage yet.
Okay.
12 signs you've got a commitment phobic dude.
Can you
on
be
your
in
hands.
A
we'll
in a
do
relationship.
That on the Love Lab at 205.
Can you already be in a relationship, a committed relationship, and still your man has commitment issues?
Sure. Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. That means he can't stay committed, right?
It could be, yeah. Well, people, you know, they do get out of relationships, I hear. Tom Skilling is just getting off the air on Channel 9, WGN-TV, and we'll talk to him in about 5 or 6 minutes about this storm, what to expect, and where most of the rain will be falling, for how long. If anybody knows, he will. So that's coming up. Meantime, you know, this column I was talking about the other day in the Wall Street Journal, I don't know if it's just in Friday or Saturday, it's called Ask, and I'm not even sure how he pronounces his name, Ask Arielly, Dan Arielly, A-R-I-E-L-Y. And it's one of the more interesting Q&A columns I've ever seen because he doesn't cover the usual topics. It's not about advice to the lovelorn. It's not about household hints necessarily. It's about anything and everything and all these small problems, but the problems that bother us daily.
And why does this Arielly, or whatever it is. How do you spell it? A-R-I-E-L-Y?
Mm-hmm.
Why does Arielly have all the answers? Who, what?
I don't know what his qualifications are.
Where are his qualifications?
It's a good question. I'm not quite sure, but he always has an answer. And here is the most recent letter, Dear Dan, that that got my attention. I have a question that has been bothering me for a very long time. Why is it that socks always get lost in the laundry? Right?
Yeah, especially baby socks. There's a black hole, or there's a place in heaven that is filled with all those lost socks.
Here's what Dan says. This is the answer. This is a deep and important question, and I actually looked into it some time ago with one of my Israeli friends, Ornit Raz. Well, I guess this is what he does. He consults other people on these problems. And for some reason...
A friend wouldn't know the answer to that.
He talked to this guy, and he said, we discovered that... We discovered that belief in the supernatural is very strong when it comes to the disappearance of socks. Otherwise, reasonable people who think that they have a strong grasp of the forces of nature feel at a loss when it comes to this universal mystery, and it deeply shakes their faith in the laws of physics. Yeah, good point. I agree. We also found one mechanism that can explain this mystery, the overcounting of missing socks. You have many socks, and if you see one of them and don't immediately find its partner, you say, oh, a sock has been lost. You remember that a sock is missing, but you do not exactly recall its type or color.
All right. I have another theory on that. Static electricity, it gets stuck on something else. One of them does, and then you don't find it for a really long time.
Well, that's possible. Dan doesn't mention that, though, in the rest of his answer. He says later on, he's talking about the missing sock, and you don't exactly recall its type or color. Later on, you see the matching sock. You do come across it, but you don't remember that it forms a pair with the first sock, and you say to yourself again, another sock is missing. Where is its partner? I can't believe so many socks go missing. You get it here? So you actually find them at different times, but think that you don't think to pair them up. So we often count as lost each sock in a pair, even though neither is really lost. At the end of the day, the mystery is not due to the suspension of the law of physics, but to the much larger puzzle of how our memory works or doesn't work. Yet I still feel that at the back of my laundry machine, there may be a black hole that is suitable just for socks. But I think his answer about you find one, that does explain it.
Yeah, but
and
you
then later you find the other one.
But what I do is I stick all the singles in a drawer, and I often go into that drawer and they don't match up.
Yeah, we
have a drawer. Do you know this? We have a drawer in the basement, and the entire content of it is single socks.
Well, now you tell me. Okay, well, now I know where to look.
What do you mean?
I didn't know we had that drawer.
But why are you looking if there's no match for it?
Well, because I have all these single socks.
Oh, you mean upstairs in your closet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where they are. Mystery solved. They're in their drawer in the basement.
All right. Well, our mystery is solved. We'll try to solve the mystery of Chicago weather. What is going on out there, and how long is this going to be happening, and what's going to be happening next, and who's going to get most of the rain, and when will it be dry? We'll check in with Tom Skilling over there at WGN-TV right after this. Sarada Murciano in the afternoon, and we are under a severe weather alert, and who better to explain what that means exactly than WGN-TV meteorologist Tom Skilling. Hi, Tom.
How are you?
We're good.
Hi, Tom.
We're wet.
Hey, Marianne. How are you? Yes, we all are. I think we're all wet, Bob and Marianne.
Yeah.
Boy, it's coming down in buckets at times across the area. We've had thunder and lightning. We've had some measurements that are approaching 1.9 inches of rain already. And you lay that down on top of all this melting snow that has about 1 to 4 inches of water tied up in it, and you can see why we have standing water going on and are a little concerned about the rivers and so forth. But there's another phase of the storm that locks in tonight. We're going to get a brief burst of 50-degree warmth late today and early tonight. Then the backside circulation comes in, and the high winds become an issue in a storm like this. This thing is deepening rapidly, which means the air is rising with increasing force through the storm. And so what happens is the air around the storm rushes in and creates the winds that we feel. And they're going to gust over 50 miles an hour at times tonight. And it'll stay windy tomorrow, too. So a real range of weather, just the latest a product of a winter that has been pretty extraordinary around these parts.
Well, first things first, Tom.
Sure.
Before this weather arrives, for those who are standing around and didn't go to work today because they're just pacing back and forth, looking at their sump pump to make sure everything is working.
Yeah.
All we care about is the weather forecast in terms of rain for now.
And you know, you raise a good point, Marianne. You know, part of the problem is we've had all this snow and it's clogged up some of these drains. Now, I know we've had city crews out, not only here in the city, but in the suburbs surrounding, trying to open some of these up. But low-lying areas and areas where the drainage is an issue because of ice in the sewer system, will be a problem. There's no question about it. There'll be some standing water. You know, you've got all this snow sitting on top of frozen ground, so the moisture that would normally percolate into the soil can't do that, so it has nowhere to go but to run off. And then you marry that with the meltwater from snow that's been accumulating all winter long. And you get some flooding issues. And then on the rivers, what happens is they're clogged with ice. So they break up as we warm up a little bit. We were in the 40s the last 2 days. We'll jump to 50 for a brief period later today. So you get these ice dams to form on some of these rivers. And that complicates things if those things come into play because the water backs up behind those.
And, Tom, where will the heaviest rains be in what area today? Bob, and when will they move out of the area?
Yeah, they're coming through in waves. So what happens is you get these downpours, and then there'll be periods where it's not raining at all. But it looks like the heaviest rains go into this evening. Then they taper down, and by morning we blow some snow flurries or snow showers around the backside of the system. This storm is producing a blizzard up toward the Twin Cities, upstate Wisconsin, Iowa. They've got blizzard warnings there, and down south of us, there'll be tornadic thunderstorms that spin up from Kentucky into downstate Indiana and Illinois. So this is kind of your full-purpose winter storm here, and we're in the middle putting up with this cold, icy wind off the lake right now that once the warm front passes, turns southerly and warms us briefly, and then the backside winds roar in here, and that's when you cool off. So the temps will be down to low 30s by morning, and that means that some of the standing water will be freezing too, so be wise for folks to be a little careful in the morning.
Heaviest rainfall amounts south of the city?
Everywhere, Bob. They're all over. This is pretty uniform. Hmm. We're sitting in a pretty widespread rain event here. Now, at the moment, we have like Hebron, Indiana's had 1.9 inches of rain so far, but we have many weather sites right here in the city area and north that have had upwards of an inch of rain, and it started as some heavy snow this morning. It's kind of interesting the way these things work. When these thunderstorms bubble up, they cool the air, and you get a brief period of snow. And so it snowed pretty vigorously early this morning in some of the northern suburbs. They got a quick 1.9 inches of snow, but it's gone over to rain since then. And so it's a pretty uniform rain-generating event.
Okay, I have two questions
for
you. One, is it foolish that I am, not that I can affect the weather, but I am looking forward to the snow because I don't want any more water around my house.
No.
And also, is how many days have to go by so that you don't have so much water in the ground?
Yeah, well, you know what? That's an issue. This winter has some life left in it. You know, the winter has been driven by the tendency of this big warm pool of air to form over Alaska. And what it does, even though it's way away from here, it buckles the jet stream north into the Arctic, and then it crashes down the east side of that warm air dome into the lower 48 with cold air in tow. So, and that also sets up a storm pattern, and it looks like we'll be re-intensifying this cold air the middle and end of next week going into the following week. So we'll end February cold and open March cold, and there's some indications this basic pattern will last through March and maybe even into April. Now, the cold gets less intense as time goes on because the days are getting longer, but the bottom line is, Marianne, we could lay down some more snow before this winter is over. We have about a quarter of our snow yet to go, typically, from this date forward. And about 10% of our zero-degree days have historically occurred from this date forward. So there's a little life left in this cold weather pattern yet.
I'm not sure if you answered any of my questions, but I'm really happy that you, whatever you said, it's useful information.
Bottom line is UFN until further notice on how long this is going to be around. You know?
Well, so. I think what we're trying to get at here is some of us are thinking, well, maybe it'll be good when it gets cold and snowy again, because then we won't have all of this water and everything on the roof melting.
You are absolutely right. Now, the one thing that happens this time of year is the sun gets more intense. And so even when the thermometer tells you it's 10 degrees, you get this dripping to go on because the roofs and whatever bare patches of ground or pavement there are heat up more than the other areas around it. So you get melting even with a thermometer reading below freezing.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, let's get down to business.
Sure.
The most important question of the day, what are you doing to celebrate your birthday? And happy birthday. I want to know what a Tom Skilling does on a day like today to celebrate.
Well, I'll tell you something. I haven't even had time to think about it. And not only that, when you get to my age, you don't, you know, birthdays are, you know, it's like any other day. I don't have anything really special planned today, Marianne. And I don't have much choice anyway because we'll be pretty busy following this whole crazy weather regime.
Well, Mother Nature gave you your presents, snow, sleet, rain, wind, cold and warm, all within about a 24-hour period.
There you go, Bob. I had the full panoply of winter weather, you know, just march by. It's like, you know, I didn't even have to go outside. I could sit at the window and watch it all pass by. It's like two seasons rolled or three seasons rolled in one.
You know, I've been thinking about you this winter because when I worked at Channel 2 back in the day with John Coughlin, great guy, great talent, but John, well, how can I put this? When people stopped him on the street to ask him about the weather, it was not his favorite thing in the world, and I can imagine, especially this winter, and as recognizable as you are, you're getting it all the time. How are you handling it?
Oh, you know what? I love it, Bob. I figure if, you know, when I'd start worrying as somebody, if somebody didn't ask what was going on, you know, you figure, you know what it's like in this business. Hey, we live from day to day, and job security is the fact that somebody listens and or watches us. So, you know, keep it going. Yeah. That's the way I feel.
Attaboy. Well, Gary Meyer will chat with you as usual at 3:11. I'm sure he's got some birthday surprises for you today.
I'm sure he does. And I get a kick out of the two of you and the interplay with Mr. Meyer at 3 o'clock. You leave me laughing. S&M, I'll tell you.
Yeah, we never know quite what to expect. You know what I mean?
I know, Bob. Well, you handle Gary well, and he handles you well. So it makes a great radio, I'll tell you that.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks,
and have
guys.
A great birthday.
You too. Thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
Good talking to you. Thanks for the time, Tom.
Sure.
He's the best, and he's so enthusiastic at all times, and he is, for people of the baby boom generation, they get it when I say he is today's Harry Volkman. Harry Volkman was the weatherman growing up here in Chicago, and Tom was very much a fan of Harry's, and Harry I think mentored him a little bit, and I know they had some contact when Tom was a young man, and now it's Tom. But can you imagine when he's walking around what happens, especially this winter?
Yeah, people are probably coming on to him all the time.
Well, yeah, you could say.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do about the weather, so let's just go somewhere and eat tacos.
Yes.
We're joined.
Eating is always a good solution for bad weather.
By the Tribune's chief eater, Kevin Pang. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. You know, eating's also a good solution for good weather as well.
Right. Well, we eat together then also to celebrate.
Yes.
Or we eat together when it's like this too.
I mean, you eat after funerals. You eat in good times and bad. There is no bad time to eat, really.
I know. I'm trying to eat when I'm hungry, which, if you think about it, it's not that easy to do.
No, because we eat for many reasons.
Yes.
And that can be a problem.
And every time I go to grab something, I go, wait, am I hungry?
Yeah, I eat for...
And the answer is usually no.
You're
but
right.
But I still want to eat it.
Yeah, people eat for reward, right? And if you want to be rewarded with a good taco, Kevin Pang knows where to go. And you really covered a wide area here, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I figure let's talk about tacos because tacos can be so many things. It could be it can be vegetarian if you don't eat any meats. You could be pork, chicken, fish. And one thing I did a couple of years ago, this was in 2007, I believe. I did this story for the Tribune where I told people about the fish taco. Now, if you don't live in Southern California, if you grew up in the Midwest all your life, I found that very few people back then knew what fish tacos were. Now, you guys spent some time in California, right?
Yeah, but I know, I know what you mean, though. Not until very recently here did you hear fish taco recommendations.
But isn't a fish taco just another version of a taco that you can put anything you want to?
But it's a, you know, it's actually a very specific variant. So I'm talking about the Baja style fish taco, which if you go to if you go to San Diego, I mean, it's practically everywhere. They also have this in like Ensenada and in the Baja California coast as well. But it's basically a fried fish taco with very specific ingredients. It's got red cabbage. It's got some crema. It's got a squeeze of lime, and it's you know, it's got some possibly some you know, like an ancho mayo or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, what's not to love about
what's
that?
What's not to love?
What
right.
kind of fish? Does it matter?
You know, it really doesn't matter, but usually a white, firm fish, so something like a cod or a haddock, you know, would be good. But you know, it's really, if you think about it, I think when I first told people about fish tacos, they thought it was, in their mind, they saw like a whole fish with scales and all wrapped around a taco. But then you have to train them. You have to tell them, well, it's actually like a fish stick, like a crispy fish stick in a taco form. And then when you try it, it's bright, it's crunchy, it's almost light despite it being fried. And there's a couple places that do really good fish tacos in the area.
One of them is new, right?
It's sort of, in fact, yes, there's it's new in that they just opened a location in Lakeview on Belmont, and it's one of my favorite places. It's called Big and Littles, and they actually have a location on Orleans. I believe it's 860 North Orleans, and they've been around for a couple of years. Really interesting story. It's called Big and Littles because one guy's big, bigger guy, and one guy's little, tinier guy. That's why they're called Big
then.
And Littles. Exactly. Perfect name. And they were competing on Gordon Ramsay's. You know that show on Fox, like Hell's Kitchen, right? So he got yelled at by Gordon Ramsay. And so afterward, after they've done the reality TV thing, they decided to come back to their native Chicago and open up this place. And originally, it was a small, tiny place on Orleans where they served, you know, burgers and fries and tacos and you know, things like that. You know, not particularly you think of ambitious food, but the way that they did it, they'd be hand forming the patties, and then the you know, the fish tacos would be of just really high quality. And so after that, Guy Fieri, you know, of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, came into the shop, and the whole place after that blew up. It became super popular, and now they've got two locations, one in the near north side and one in Lakeview, and the fish taco, they've got a couple of variations. I think they change it every day, but, you know, ask for the crispy fish tacos. If you've never had one, that is a perfect place to try it.
Big and Littles, 860 North Orleans, and the new one at 1034 West Belmont.
And I've walked into taquerias and spoken to people who are making the tacos.
I say that again, Maria.
Taquerias.
I love that.
Hey now.
And and they say that corn tortillas are the only thing.
Yeah.
Like the flour ones are the fake ones.
Yeah.
So don't have fake flour tortillas on your tacos.
It seems to me like it's divided by ethnic lines, I feel like. You know?
You mean the Mexican ones and then the American ones?
Yeah, you know,
well,
if you go to like a TGI Fridays or an Applebee's, right, and if they happen to have steak fajitas or tacos on the menu, it always seems to be flour tortillas
because it's fast food and it's processed.
But even to
flour
me, you know,
tortillas,
I mean, the thing though about flour tortillas is that it just feels so starchy. It feels so thick.
Yeah.
I mean, my preference is to have corn tortillas on everything without question.
Yeah, that's the way you're supposed to have it.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless you, I mean, it's just the fake tortillas again. Is what they call
They're not
it.
Necessarily fake, but, you know, I guess it's more of a matter of personal preference. But I just like the corn tortilla because there's more flavor in it. It's not as bland and not as starchy and as thick as flour tortillas.
So tell us about the place you like in Aurora.
Aurora. Oh, yes. I'm a big fan of this place. It is Taqueria Arandense in Aurora. And so this we actually wrote about this about a year ago. We did a tour of taco places by the Fox River Valley. And I had a bunch of tacos. And this had one of my favorite tacos. It's Cochinita Pibil, which is, if you go to the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, they will be serving these whole pigs, you know, roasting at hold. And it's a very elaborate dish. But the way that they do it is that they would fry these shredded pork. It's almost like carnitas with mustard. Okay? And it gives this very kind of pungent flavor to it, and they serve it on corn tortilla as you like it, it's just like your regular sit down taco joint, but this particular one, the Cochinita Pibil at Taqueria Arandense in Aurora, I just found it to be it was really one of my favorite tacos.
One North Broadway in Aurora. Okay, that sounds pretty good.
I don't know if I could go for mustard fried.
You got to try.
I don't like
you know
mustard.
What? Have you had In-N-Out burgers? This sounds like
yes, but now, I don't. Not with mustard.
But have you had the animal style In-N-Out burger?
Animal style?
Yeah, it's off the secret menu, right? Mm-hmm. But Bob would know about this. But what they do is it's grilled, sautéed, caramelized onions, and then they fry the burgers in mustard. And so it would give this weird. It does not taste like mustard. It just tastes. It gives it this added complexity of flavor. It's really good. You should try it.
If it doesn't taste like mustard, why fry it in mustard?
See, I like all kinds of mustard. I've even been known to dip my French fries in mustard.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That might be going one.
It's
kind of.
It's almost like a British thing because they have the vinegar with fries there. Fish and chips. But
it's very British.
It's just another way that Marianne and I are totally different.
But mustard. So compatible at the same time.
Well, sometimes.
He eats his stuff and I eat mine.
All right. While we're out there in the sticks, tell us about La Rosita Taqueria in Crystal Lake.
La Rosita Taqueria. In Crystal Lake. You know, in 2006.
Do I sound like a gringo?
I don't. You sound really bad.
So I'm sorry.
Can you say taqueria again?
Taqueria.
There you go. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
La Rosita Taqueria.
Kevin.
No, but so a few years ago, 2006, when I first joined the Tribune Dining staff, we did this search for tacos. We cast a wide net, went all across Chicagoland, and one of our favorite tacos back then was the Tacos Al Pastor at La Rosita Taqueria in Crystal Lake.
And it's good.
And it's in a supermarket, but there's this little alcove where they have, as most Mexican supermarkets do, where they serve tacos. And we came back there last year and we had the Al Pastor and it was just as delicious. They would be carving it off the spit. They fried it. It's just incredibly crispy and it's got that nice pineapple taste to it, caramelized. La Rosita Taqueria, 131 North Main Street in Crystal Lake, one of our favorites.
All right, hold that taco for a minute. Let's go into the newsroom. Kim Gordon has an Amber Alert. Kim?
Bob, an Amber Alert has been issued for 5-year-old Drake Wicker of Park Ridge. He's described as 3'6", weighing about 38 pounds. He has blonde hair and blue eyes. He's wearing a black polo coat. We'll bring you more details as it becomes available.
Thank you, Kim. We're talking with the Cheap Eater at the Chicago Tribune, Kevin Pang. And by the way, if you want to tweet him, his Twitter handle is @Pang, P-A-N-G.
@Pang.
There you go. And let's see, that Crystal Lake, La Rosita, 131 North Main Street.
Yes, yes. Right by the railroad tracks.
And then there's one more we want to talk about for steak tacos.
Yes, this, I think if you live in Chicago, there's no way that it's when at 2 a.m. and hunger strikes, there's no way you've not been to this place, La Posadita. In Wicker Park, Ashland and Division, a classic place. In fact, several years ago, in 2007, when the late Charlie Trotter, he had this, it was his 20th anniversary, and he brought a bunch of chefs from across the, from across the country and across the world. These names, you know, you might have not heard of them: Heston Blumenthal, Thomas Keller, Ferran Adjua, big names, right? And the place we brought them, we decided to go out for food one night, and they asked, where do you want to go? And we went to this place, La Posadita. We got carne asada tacos. You know, it's like marinated in God knows what, but it's like orange juice and, you know, all these different spices. And they're grilling the steak and they serve it on these tacos. And
it sounds almost Cuban, like when you have that orange.
The mojo, yeah.
The mojo criollo. Yeah. And you were saying the carne asada is like, that's typical.
That sounds really
good to me
right now. There's so many steak tacos out there. A lot of them just sort of taste like not much, sort of vaguely like beef. But this place, incredibly flavorful, nice churn it grilled on steak tacos. You can add your own salsas on it. The carne asada tacos at La Posadita. It's a must get.
All right. We'll post all four of your picks, Kevin, on our page, facebook.com/Surratt and Murciano.
And then we have questions. People are texting in.
All right.
And I also have a couple of questions for you.
All right. Text 247-20. And we'll talk also about what Kevin wrote about in the Trib today. A very interesting sandwich and a very interesting 3-month-old restaurant to tell you about after this. Talking a little tacos and Mexican food with the Tribune's Kevin Pang this afternoon. We should add, Marianne, that one of our favorite joints for tacos up north is in Northfield, Taco Nano.
Yeah, Taco Nano. Freddie is the chef there. Unbelievable. And he has somebody who comes in every day to make fresh corn tacos.
Yeah.
So sometimes if we feel like just having tacos in the fridge or to go with our eggs or whatever in the morning, you can just buy tacos there too.
Well, that's like one of those places, as you know, Kevin, these places where, like Taco Nano in Northfield, it's very tiny. There's just a few tables there, and oftentimes the best places are those kinds of spots, aren't
those
they?
Are the type of places I love. Those are the type of places I love trying to find and unearth, because, you know, they don't usually get a lot of press. And for the bang for the buck, I mean, they're usually the most satisfying places.
And also Big Star is really good, too.
Oh, yeah. Big Star, Paul Kahn's place. They're the guys behind Blackbird and Avec and the Publican. They're actually going to be opening up a sister place to Big Star, and that is coming soon.
Where?
I think it's in Wicker Park. I don't quote me on that, but they're opening.
Pretty soon, I'm going to move to Wicker Park because I think that's where all the restaurants are. Right?
It is where all
the restaurants are. At least all the ones you talk about.
All right. Any on tacos? Any old business before we move on to this restaurant Kevin wrote about today in the Trib?
Yeah, we have a lot of people texting in with questions so quickly. Oh, by the way, somebody commented that when you guys were talking about the mustard frying, whatever it was on the mustard, it's not mustard. It's achiote.
Gazunites.
Maybe it's
there's
similar.
Also achiote seeds that they use in the at Arenance as well.
What kind of taco in Aurora?
What kind of taco in Aurora
were you talking about?
Oh, this was the cochinita pibil at Taqueria Arenance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and somebody else wanted you to mention the address of that place.
In Aurora?
Yeah.
One North Broadway. We'll post them all. Go to our Facebook page.
All right.
And one really quick thing just about La Posadita. I know there's three locations. There are three locations. Actually, I think one of them closed, but it's just north. It's on the southwest corner of Division and Ashland. Just look at La Posadita. There's a big sign. There's no way you'll miss
it. Because there are a lot of questions about that. People saying that there are three of them.
Right.
And which one you meant. But you say that it's all the same thing?
It's all the same place, but I believe one of them has closed, and so now there's only two left.
All right. Where's the best place to go for fish and chips in the city at any time of the week, not just Fridays?
Oh, gosh. Boy, I don't know. We're not just Friday. I'll tell you my favorite place on a Friday is this place in Bridgeport called Pleasant House Bakery, and it's a English place where it's served on Fridays, but just go to any Irish bar. I'm sure you'll find a good version
of it. Kevin, have you ever had the PB&J made with Eggo waffles?
I have not, but that sounds
okay. Have you tried the burger place at Grand Victoria?
At the casino, I have not, but. Okay. That is someplace I should go out and try.
Where is the best Japanese steakhouse in the city, not just the burbs?
Japanese steakhouse in the city. There's really not a lot, but actually, Japone, which is the place on Chicago and the river.
That's a great place.
Was just taken over by Masahiro Morimoto, who's the Iron Chef He's, you know, if you watch Food Network, he's on there. He just took over, and there's a lot of steak on the menu, so that's a place to check out. A
couple of votes coming in for fish and chips any day of the week in Lincoln Park. Duke of Perth.
Duke of Perth, classic place on Clark Street and Diversity. You know, that would actually be a good place to start.
We like old school. Today in the Tribune, the Cheap Eater column, you write about an interesting sandwich and an interesting new restaurant in Edgewater. Tell us about this.
Fascinating place called Cookies and Carnitas. For the last 3 years, these guys have had a tent at the Green City Market. And I remember going there at 7:30 in the morning, early when no one else was there, and they would bring out this gigantic roll of pork. Porchetta, and it's this big
porchetta.
A porchetta. So it's basically it's pork shoulder and pork belly rolled with these Italian spices and the crispiest rind. I mean, it looks like a Lincoln log. It's gigantic. So these guys decided to open up a restaurant in Edgewater, and they worked at places like Charlie Trotter's. They worked at True. So they got really impressive pedigree, and they opened up this place where they're serving sandwiches. They're doing pizza. They're doing tacos. And in fact, in the story I say today that right now I'm a bit unsure what they're trying to do because they're trying to do so many different things. But a few things that I do want to recommend is they've got this one dish called the Beefy Cheesy. Okay, it's kind of a strange name, but it's basically it's braised beef brisket, nice and fatty, with Merck's cheddar spread, onion jam on a ciabatta roll that they bake themselves. That is absolutely amazing to die for. The pulled pork sandwich is also one to get. They braise it with orange juice, beer, lots of Mexican chilies as well. And I would also recommend the shredded braised goat taco. If you've never had goat before, if you've never been to a birreria before, that is something to try. So the goat tacos at Cookies and Carnitas. And that place is at 5757 North Broadway Streets. And it's cash only, by the way.
By the way, when I hear you talking about food, I feel like you're going to, like, explode.
I know.
Well, he usually explodes after his assignments.
Yeah.
Yes.
We always enjoy our late lunches on Thursdays with Kevin Pang of the Tribune, and you can reach him on Twitter, at Pang, P-A-N-G. Thanks, as usual, Kevin.
See
good job.
Kevin.
All right. It's time for the Love Lab. And by the way, look at the bright side of the weather forecast. All of the high winds that we're going to be getting later, that will help dry us out, right?
Well, we're not standing outside wet.
Well, no, but I mean it'll dry out the water, and then
really,
yeah,
okay,
and then the water, the rain is cleaning the streets and sidewalks of all the debris and all the When snow eventually is around long enough and it combines with mud to form slud. So, you know me, I'm a half full glass kind of guy.
Yeah, right. You know what? I got an Amber Alert on my phone, and I think you did too.
I did, yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm wondering, mm-hmm. and it's about that child.
In Park Ridge,
and I'm wondering, how did I get that Amber Alert? And then I saw the phone shaking and rattling, even though my sound is off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went for it, and then now I find no trace of it.
No, I have
like
it.
I don't know where it yeah. is.
We all got it up here, too, and we're discussing the same thing. We don't know how we got it. Yeah, we think it might be an emergency, you know, somehow.
You know what? I was jogging a month or two ago, and there was a severe weather alert, and the same thing happened. It came right through on my smartphone.
But it's very random because it's not happening for every emergency. Why
it has to be like a civil emergency, like, you know, when the sirens goes off. But how do they get your cell phone number? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Right. Because I didn't give it to anybody, and neither did you, Bob, that I know of.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of the severe weather alert or the Amber Alert, it's a good thing, but it's also a little frightening, isn't it?
I'm just wondering how
yeah,
it
that
happened.
They can get it.
And how I've never had an Amber Alert you know, emergency call on my phone.
Yeah, this is the second time it's happened to me. The last time was a weather alert.
Did you guys figure anything out there in the news department?
We're working on it. We'll let you know.
Okay.
Important thing to remember or to know for now is the 2012 white Audi Q5 that they're looking for.
That was parked outside this woman's house, apparently. And
carjacked.
With her kid in it.
How scary is that?
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll keep you posted on that. In the Love Lab today, this is an interesting bit of business about something called commitment phobics. Somebody who is a commitment phobe. And apparently this was coined by Stephen Carter and Julia Sokol, who wrote Men Who Can't Love, the book. And now we get 12 signs you've got a commitment phobic dude on your hands. Number one, date and dash.
Oh, this is when you go out on a first date with somebody and you think everything went well, and then he does not call back. Maybe he's just not that into you.
Could mean that. What does this mean? Number two, Prince Charming.
It's the one who sweeps you off your feet and wants to get serious right away. See, that would play into my fantasies. I would have a hard time thinking that that's not real. But these guys apparently live in a complete fantasy world, and so long as everything is fantasy, they feel fine. Let any of it become reality, however, and that's when they start to panic.
Number three on the list, this is very common. This is no surprise. Somebody who has sex with you and then they disappear.
Well, everything is fine, and then the first time they have sex with you, then they disappear. And you think that you did something wrong, but the guy has really actually gotten so freaked out by the intimate bond that sex can create that it feels like you've suddenly snapped the steel jaws of an animal trap around their legs. That's how it feels to them. Bob, has that ever happened to you?
No. Not that I can recall. I was never that fortunate, I don't think. What did I just say? Let's see.
You said I was never that fortunate, I think.
No, I mean, what did I just respond to? I'm not sure. I need to think about that.
You responded to feeling like you've suddenly, someone has suddenly snapped the steel jaws of
no.
an animal trap around your legs.
No, No, I was looking for that. Number four on the list. I don't understand this. Explain this to me. PDA?
Lack of PDA. What is PDA? Do we know?
It says here, he treats you like a princess at home alone, but like a total stranger out in public or around your friends or his. Someone will text us or call us 24/7/20 for the text. Phone number is 312-981-7200. Anyway, that's on the list of 12 signs your man is a commitment phobe.
Public display of affection.
Ah.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I never heard that. Does everybody know that but me?
Yeah.
And me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I think all women know that term.
No, I'm a woman, Bob. I didn't know.
No. Oh, you didn't know?
No.
Oh, Kristen knew. Okay.
I think all...
PDA, public display...
Of affection.
Of affection.
Yeah.
Would you like more PDA, Marianne?
Yes, I would, actually.
Would you?
Yeah.
Now?
No, not now.
Okay.
Now you're holding a hot cup of tea in your hand, and you're far away from me. And besides, this wouldn't be a public place. Because
well,
you're
okay. We have a window, Allstate Showcase Studio window.
Yeah, but nobody's looking. See, you're okay
one-on-one. Well, because of the rain, nobody's stopping
okay
to look today. I beg your pardon?
You're okay one-on-one.
Meaning what?
Meaning that.
What do you mean I'm okay one-on-one?
Yeah, one-on-one, you have no problem displaying affection.
Well, I'm shy. I'm shy.
Not shy.
Yeah, I am.
I want to know if anybody thinks that Bob sounds shy.
Well, I'm not on television and radio, but, you know, how would it be if I went on the air and it sounded like this?
Just don't.
So that's the real me. Okay. Back to the list. Number four was PDA or lack of PDA. Number five?
Compartmentalizing. Do you want me to read it for you?
Yeah. Compartmentalizing? What's wrong with that?
Well, like you might forbid someone from certain parts of your life. Like, oh, you right, don't want okay. your work people to meet your personal
people. Yeah, that's not good.
People that, to
that's
meet
a bad
your
sign.
College buddies.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
And obviously the next one I understand, time boundaries.
You did that a lot with me, by the way.
I did?
Yeah, you did. It was almost like I was a secret.
I'm shy.
Yeah, right.
Time boundaries. Obviously, there's trouble if somebody says, well, I can only see you on this day or that day, and I only have an hour here.
Well, but yeah, but I'm sorry, but I can totally understand if, I mean, I think a lot of people make this mistake too soon, too fast, and immediately they want to see that person every single day. And I say, play a little hard to get. Come on. You don't have to, like, be there 24/7. You have the rest of your life to be with this person, maybe.
And you know what I always say? Always leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
Rule, number one rule of show business. Next on the list is walking. Oh, I
oh,
get.
Oh my
get.
God, this is so.
They don't want to walk with you.
Oddly, guys who are commitment phobic will often refuse to keep pace with you when you walk. They'll walk far ahead or lag behind. Holding hands while you walk is often a problem for him. Bob, what do we have an argument about every day?
Well, because I am in a hurry to get into the office, and you're looking at your phone while you're walking, so I walk ahead of you.
No, but it is...
Right, tomorrow we'll hold hands going into the office.
I don't want to hold your hand. I don't want to hold your hand. But every... I mean, like, you slam doors on me. You don't hold...
Doors.
Yes, you do. You did that last week. You don't hold a door open for me. You walk...
I'm changing.
20 feet ahead of me.
I admire the Japanese.
When you are not... even when you're not at work, when we're at the mall, it's almost like you want to not be seen with me.
Number eight, distancing. Oh, that's what that is. Distancing, not being emotionally or physically available. Number nine is sex, whereas he once had to have you twice a day. Now he has excuses as to why he doesn't want sex. Yeah, I could see that'd be a problem. 10, affairs. Well, yeah, that's bad. Mixed messages. One day he loves you, next day he doesn't. And number 12, fault finding. Once you were perfect, now nothing is remotely good enough. This is what happens in a long-term relationship, though. It's not always a sign that your man would be a commitment phobe.
Yeah, but stop fault finding. Come on.
You're right.
You know what you got into.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Don't you?
Yes, I do.
I do, too.
I do.
Eyes wide open.
Yeah, I know.
I know, too.
I know, and intellectually, I understand this is as good as it gets, and it would be better than anything else. Intellectually, I get that.
Oh, but emotionally, you don't?
Well, no, sometimes the emotion is a little harder to control. It gets out of hand.
Well, it doesn't have to be that this is as good as it gets. Maybe it could get better.
You mean with the two of us?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk during the commercial.
Maybe it could get better for you. It could never get better for me.
This is
as good as it can get.
It could never get better for me either. There's no question about that. I definitely married up. We're going to go live to Sochi, but first this. To Sochi we go now. We'll put a spoiler alert on this entire interview. As we go live to Stacy St. Clair covering the Olympics for the Chicago Tribune in Sochi, and I guess it's good evening there, isn't it, Stacy?
It's actually good morning because it's about 12:25 in the morning. Hi.
Oh yeah, it's late night in Sochi, and
late night. Yeah.
We mentioned we'll put a spoiler alert on everything here because got wind of some very exciting hockey today.
Yeah, the Canadians upset the Americans. I mean, that's a stunner in women's hockey. So I just saw the medal ceremony for the Canadians on TV, and I didn't see the women's hockey game because I was covering figure skating, but it's safe to say I would describe the U.S. women's team as looking devastated on the medal stand.
Stacy, stand by for 1 second because we had an Amber Alert earlier, and now we have a quick update, and then we'll get right back to you. First, in the newsroom, here's Kim Gordon.
And Bob, we do have some good news. It looks like the car and 5-year-old Drake Whitaker has been found in Niles. We'll bring you more details
as we get them.
Great. That is good news. Thank you, Kim.
Good to know. And Stacey, so there's been a lot of good U.S. news, though, lately, right?
Yeah, I mean, this morning the United States won gold, the half pipe ski, which is basically the event that Shaun White does, but on two skis instead of a snowboard. Maddie Bowman won a gold in that. And last night, the U.S. women took silver and bronze in bobsled, including Chicago's Asia Evans took a bronze in bobsled. So that was she's very excited. She had a very large Chicago contingent there, and so they were having a good time last night after the win.
Yeah, AJ Evans went to Morgan Park High School and the University of Illinois.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, went to both of those. She's a niece of Sarge Matthews of Cubs fame, and her brother, Fred Evans, plays for the Minnesota Vikings. So she comes from a pretty athletic family. Good resume there.
Yeah.
I'm seeing news come in about Ukrainian athletes leaving the Olympics even before they compete, even though the Olympics International Olympics Committee is asking them to stay and compete, and it has a lot to do with the violence nearby. What's going on with that?
And that's like 600 miles away.
Yeah, I mean, it's not 600 miles is not really that far in the grand scheme of things, and it's, you know, a very political issue because there's some feeling that Putin is you know, pushing a corrupt government, and so I mean, the athletes are making political statements. The IOC wants to tap that down because the whole Olympic movement is supposed to be non-political, but sometimes in being non-political, that's sort of political in and of itself.
Stacey, on NBC tonight, what would be something to look for, something to watch for? What do you think will be the highlight for people who are going to be watching the Olympics here in the States tonight?
I think it's going to be the women's figure skating. That's always sort of the marquee event of the entire Winter Olympics. And you have the free skate, the long program tonight. And it's an exciting one. Do you want me to give the results?
I'll give another spoiler alert here. Double spoiler alert now. This is an additional spoiler alert on top of the one that we broadcast 2 minutes earlier. Now you may proceed.
Okay, so Yuna Kim, who everybody thought was going to have a cakewalk here to defend her Olympic crown, actually finished second to a really dazzling performance by the Russian figure skater, and she just brought the house down, Adelina. And I think it's going to be exciting for people to watch. The U.S. skaters, a little bit of a controversy. I think there's going to be a judging controversy that kind of stems from this, so watch out for that tonight when Ashley Wagner skates. Her scores kind of had everyone's jaws dropping, and she just spoke out a few minutes ago saying that if skating, you know, wants to be taken seriously and build a fan base, it needs to have a little bit more accountability in its judging. So I think we'll end up with a judging controversy. It's not the Olympics without one, right?
Yes, there you have it. Heading into the final weekend of the Olympics in Sochi, the Tribune's Stacey St. Clair, and now I guess you can go to sleep unless you've got some partying, some vodka in mind.
I've got some writing in mind.
Oh, yeah.
Vodka after that.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, make sure you keep that order. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks, guys.
Marianne's Celebrity Report to the Nation is on the air.
Thank you, Mr. Anchorman. Before we get to the celebrity news in our celebrity newsroom, back upstairs to the real newsroom for a second. Kim Gordon, you did figure out the mystery of why we all got the Amber Alert on our smartphones.
Yes, we did. It's part of FEMA's Wireless Emergency Alert System, and it's sent about severe weather, Amber Alerts, other emergencies, and it goes through your cell phone service, and different cell phone companies voluntarily participate in this.
So everybody gets it?
Everybody gets it as long as your wireless carrier agrees to provide the service. So,
and most do, I think.
I would imagine, because a lot of other people up here have been talking about it, that they got it too.
Yeah. Well, it works.
Yes, it does.
Thank you, Kim.
Comfort in that, in knowing that, right?
Yeah, and at least we had a happy ending to the story today.
Yes.
In the celebrity news this afternoon, who are we talking about?
Oh, we are starting off with this electronic billboard just off the Eden's Expressway that is turning heads, okay?
So it features Justin Bieber sandwiched by Blackhawks stars Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. And it says, "Loser keeps Bieber."
That's pretty good. That's on a billboard off the Edens, huh? Cool.
Yeah. Yep. So be on the lookout for that one.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay? I will. Yeah.
Moving on to, at the Olympics, speaking of the Olympics, you know that Russian punk band Pussy Riot has been unveiling their song called "Putin Will Teach You How to Love Your Motherland" in different places in Russia, in Sochi, the Sochi area.
Right.
And they were whipped and beaten up by militia while they were outside singing this song outside one of the venues.
I saw that on the news.
Yeah. And
they had video of them being they're being whipped by these
militiamen. Yeah.
These Russians. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on with them. But they continue to play in all these places outside.
The highlight for me of that story when I was watching it on NBC Nightly News was just hearing Brian Williams say the name of the group. I enjoyed
which
that.
Is?
Pussy Riot.
Yes.
And when Brian said it, you could tell he just did it very quickly. And
he was cracking himself
and
up.
And you knew he was thinking, this is weird, but here you go.
Yep. Here's some interesting news. Martin Luther King Jr.'s two sons, Dexter and Martin Luther King III, are fighting over their father's Peace Prize. They want to sell it, and along with his Bible, but his daughter Bernice is opposed to the sale. So a judge in Fulton County is saying that the keepsakes must be removed to a court-controlled safety deposit box, so they can't go anywhere until this matter is resolved. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, you know, in the past there's been infighting about the rights to his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, and now we have this.
Yep. Khloe Kardashian is insulting her fans because she posted a picture on Instagram of herself, and she had Robert Kardashian, Bruce Jenner, and Sugar Ray Leonard on that picture, which she captioned, "I love this picture. My daddy, my second dad, my godfather." And then some of her fans mistook Sugar Ray Leonard for O.J. Simpson.
Really?
So she was really mad about that, and she said, "For those of you that are that blanking stupid, that's not OJ in my TBT. That's Sugar Ray Leonard."
And that would be the ultimate.
"Some of you will never fail to amaze me."
Ultimate insult, being called stupid by a Kardashian. Actually, they're, you know, truth be told, they're actually pretty smart, aren't they?
Oh,
about
please.
Marketing, anyway.
They're very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were talking about Brian Williams. Well, we need to listen to this because Brian Williams did a rap video for the first week of the new Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And it is Rapper's Delight. And he was joined by two special. I love that song, by the way. He was joined by Lester Holt and Kathy Lee Gifford, who also chimed in on this mashup. Let's listen.
Set up hip-hop, the hippie to the hip-hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang-bang. Boogie set up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to groove your feet. See, I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang-bang.
You know, he's not really singing this. This is like that thing they do, auto-tune, where they use his words.
Your body rock. Well, so far, you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man, Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out. I'm the C-A-S-A-N-U-B.
Pretty good stuff. Yeah, that's I mean, that's what Fallon does best. He's not an interviewer, but he creates these oftentimes musical moments that go viral. He's great at that, and that's going to be a staple of the new Tonight Show. And you know, here's what's really interesting. Nobody cares anymore that Brian Williams does that. Remember when years ago Walter Cronkite appears
not really
on the Mary,
doing that.
But I mean,
it
just
was
being
done to him.
Part of a comedy bit like that. When Cronkite was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, big controversy: should the CBS News anchorman do this? And then I remember when Brian Williams hosted Saturday Night Live a few years ago, and I was working at Channel 5 at the time, so we talked to Brian. We got a satellite hookup, and we did an interview with Brian. And I remember, I think every day for a week, we were talking to him about Saturday Night Live at the end of our 4:30 newscast. And it was, you could tell that he was approaching it a bit cautiously.
Right. At the beginning, he wasn't so much doing this. But, I mean, but don't you remember that recently there were some rumors that he was going to be doing a late night, you know, comedy kind of thing?
Sure, because he's so funny.
He's very
and
funny.
His appearances with Letterman have gone so well.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see this. Are we posting this video on our Facebook page? I want to see it. I haven't seen it. I just heard it.
We are. Now, not only does no one care that serious news anchors do that sort of thing, but it actually enhances their image because it makes them more of a real person, the total package. You know,
yeah,
they have a sense of humor too.
You couldn't have done that though if you were working at Fox, because
what?
NBC may be okay with this, but the local Fox station in Chicago would not have let you take part in anything like this, right? Comedy, spoil your image.
Mr. Surratt has no comment on that matter. Well, if it was a Fox show, they'd probably say okay.
Really?
Mm.
I don't know about that. You got a lot of no's.
Yeah, there is an office over there at Fox 32. It's the Department of No. There's just somebody in there, and he just says, "Who next? Come on in here."
No.
Yeah. The answer is no. What's your question? Next. Robin, now you
it's
come
like,
in. What's
it's
your
like
question?
Jeopardy.
No.
It's a version of Jeopardy.
Yeah. They were a little weird about doing things outside the station.
Well, yeah, because it could tarnish your reputation.
And I kept telling him, I don't have a reputation. Well, but I also remember once at Channel 5, what was it now?
Oh, yes, I know what you're going to say.
Was it Prison Break or Chicago
Code?
Yeah, you
Code? Still have not forgiven
one of those
them.
Shows. One of those shows. I think I had done one already.
Yes, you did
one. And then I wanted to do another one, and for some reason they said no.
Right, and then so now.
And that was a Fox show, and it was NBC. I could kind of see they got a little nervous
right.
about it.
But you know, I know, because every single time that one of your royalty checks comes in, you are so upset
right.
that it's not double, because you could have done that second one.
Right. And I could have got like $5 instead of $2.50. Is that the Celebrity Report to the Nation
That's
for today?
It.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll be back to open up the mailbox. Right after these announcements. So take a letter, Maria. Address it to my wife. Say I won't be coming home. Gotta start a new life. Let's open up the Surratt and Marciano mailbox. What's on your mind? Let's find out.
Well, earlier you were playing around with a copy of Sports Illustrated that was left in the office. And listen to this interesting text that came in, Bob. Geez, Bob, Marianne is right. You do turn pages violently. Easy on that SI magazine.
Is that what you claim keeps you awake at night?
Yes. The violence in your page turning.
I'll work on that.
I'm glad I was not the only one who's noticed that. We were talking about when we talked to Dennis Rodkin about the inspection fee is the most used negotiating tool.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And a couple of people wrote in and said,
When you tear down, you can waive it, the inspection fee. And also, somebody wrote in and said, if you're gutting the house, you don't care. I work for a contractor, and I have gutted houses that I wish I had what they were tearing out. Isn't that always the case?
Mm-hmm.
So much feedback on our issue with the lost sock in the dryer.
Yeah, well, I told you.
I always lose the sock, yet I never run out. The missing socks are in the lint you remove from the filter.
That's interesting.
That is very
okay,
funny.
So they all of that lint, those are the missing socks.
I like
now
that.
Now we know the rest of the story.
I have a dedicated basket for single socks and eventually find pairs. I always put the missing socks back in the laundry, so I either have very clean single socks or I match them up eventually. I have found numerous lost socks in the corners of fitted sheets. They get caught there in the dryer, and you don't see them when you fold the sheet. And last but not least on that, solution for lost socks, pin each pair together with a baby safety pin. Haven't lost one in 2 years. Well, I haven't seen a baby safety pin in about 20 years.
Well.
Or more. More.
No.
Because you use Pampers or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huggies. We were talking to Tom Skilling earlier, who, by the way, it's his birthday. And a couple of people wrote in. Somebody said, you guys forgot to mention or remember the great John Coleman on Channel 7, the first guy to ever use the full-size green screen.
Right. Yeah, Harry Volkman was kind of the weatherman first, though. Well, then you want to start going back. I mean, there's like P.J. Hoff, Harry Volkman, John Coleman.
Yes, and I was just going to mention
the
that
most popular weatherman.
Ron Lewis wrote in and said, besides Harry Volkman, baby boomers also fondly remember P.J. Hoff and his cartoons.
Mm-hmm. I think they should go back to that, by the way. Everybody tries to outdo the other guy with all these new gizmos, electronics, computers. Go back to, if I were hired as a weatherman for a TV station, you know what I'd do? I'd bring a little easel with a marker, and I'd draw cartoons. I'd just do it all that way, old school. And everybody would watch me, and everybody would enjoy.
I'd like to see.
Let's see Bob draw his son.
Let's
see him draw a cloud.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall when you try to get that job. And I want to hear what your potential employer says to you. Oh, yeah, Bob, I think that's a really good idea. Draw the weather.
Yeah. I don't want any machines. I don't want anything. People will turn to me and on a day like this. They'll want to know what I will draw in my little easel.
Uh-huh. And, we were talking about relationships.
Yeah, talk to Larry Ward about that. Say, you know, when Skilling's away, I can come in and do that. You know, because you can't compete with Skilling, so just go the entire other way. Just no gizmos, no nothing. Just a crayon and maybe a board.
Larry Ward will have a field day with you. He'll be saying, why are you wasting my time?
Yeah, he won't let me in his office, believe
he
me.
He will not let you in. Okay, we were talking about relationships, and what was it? The 12 things that...
Commitment phobic.
Yeah, and we got a lot of feedback on that. Come on, Bob, she's your lady. Treat her like one. That was in response to something you said to me. Sometimes you two remind me that death, till death do you part, isn't a vow. It's a goal.
Yeah, a lot of married couples can say that.
And after being married for 14 years, living and working together, do you guys ever get bored of each other?
I wouldn't use the word bored.
I wouldn't use the word bored either.
Sick? Yeah. Yes. Bored? Yes. No.
Yeah. Other adjectives, Bob.
Yeah. Let's stop at that one.
Okay. And I love this, we had this Throwback Thursday picture of you and Harry Carey,
mm-hmm.
Circa 1976 at the old Comiskey Park. And there are so many comments on that picture. It's so cute of both of you, especially your outfit and your hair. And somebody, Ruth Sherman Hunt, left a comment there and said, I thought this was Harry and his daughter. Nice hair. Do Bobette.
And on that Eden's billboard that you mentioned in your celebrity report, it's Command Transportation. They have a great sense of humor. It's a Skokie-based freight broker. It's their billboard, an electronic billboard, and they have Kane, Taves, and Bieber. and it's to promote the big Olympic hockey game, and it says "Loser Keeps Bieber." So I just wanted to give them a shout out for the fun that, you know, if you're stuck on the expressway and you get a laugh, hey, that's saying
something.
Up
about.
All right.